everybody, and welcome to today's Grower Talks podcast. I'm Chris Bates, editor-in-chief of Grower Talks, Green Profit, and the newsletter Acres Online. And today we're talking poinsettias, specifically the best poinsettias, best for specific purposes that growers and retailers are asking for, like timing, color, the market, the region you're growing in, the pot size or the habit that you need. If you can request it from your poinsettia supplier, we're going to see if we can cover it and give you an idea for it. Now, I know a little bit about poinsettias, enough to be dangerous, probably. I even grew the things for nine seasons from 1983 to 1991 in East Central Florida, where it's hot and the white flies are the size of bats. And I sold to florists and both garden centers that existed at the time. And my favorite red, and you guys are going to laugh or go, yeah, that was a good one. Goodbeer V10 Amy. It was easier to grow than V14, which was at the time prone to bract necrosis. I even know who Amy was. Did you guys know this before I sent you the notes?
No, I did not.
You didn't? I thought for sure.
No, I did not.
Amy
so.
Carter, daughter That's of President surprised. Jimmy Carter. The variety was launched in 1977. And it got publicity in the New York or the Washington Post, I think, because of that, which made me think we need to do a better job naming poinsettias for publicity. But we'll talk about that. Anyway, this shows kind of how out of date I am with the V10 thing. But we, my guest experts who you've been looking at there, they are all poinsettia experts with a combined more than 101 years. Steve would only commit to more than 40. Gary's feeling old. Becca's the rookie of the group with just 20 years of experience between them. My guest experts are Rebecca Simonsma. Am I pronouncing that right, Rebecca?
That's good enough.
Good enough. Rebecca from Express Seed, Gary Vollmer from Selecta One and really the Ball Horticultural Company in general there, and Steve Reinhart of Reinhart Poinsettias and also Express Seed indirectly, right? Did I get that correct? So,
yep.
Now, I've asked all of these three companies, these experts, even though they represent a company that signs their paycheck, I've asked them to forget about that, to expunge that from their minds and to think of the best poinsettia on the market for a specific purpose, regardless of its breeder. Let's see if they can do that. First, quickly, a little bit of background about your poinsettias, your poinsettia background. Rebecca, what's your poinsettia background?
Well, when I was in college, the very first crop I grew was a poinsettia crop, and I was lucky enough to have my poinsettias decorate the stage at South Dakota State University when I graduated. I didn't know at the time that that would lead to a career in horticulture, or in poinsettias in particular. I got my earnest start in poinsettias with Ecky Ranch in 2004. Steve and I worked for Steve. He actually hired me. I worked for 10 years at Ecky in technical services, and after that did some time in poinsettia product management for both Beacon Camp and Duman. And I've also been a sales rep in my home states of South Dakota for Griffin Greenhouse Supplies. So I've got well-rounded sales and product management experience in poinsettias. Most recently, I joined Express Seed as the director of In Bloom, which is our indoor potted flowering unit, and poinsettias are the core of that that activity right now. So it's exciting.
That's great. And it's so great to hear the Ecky name. You know, if things were the way they should be, there should be an Ecky representative on the panel. But in a way, I guess we've got two of them.
Two.
We'll get to the second one in a minute. First, Gary, 41 years in poinsettias, yeah. You say. Tell me about that briefly.
Well, you know, first exposure was high school job, exposed at a greenhouse that was growing in. I wasn't allowed to touch them. I was sweeping floors and disbudding mums, but I was exposed, was intrigued. But my first real growing experience, 1983, in Florida. And like you, V10 Amy was really a revolutionary variety for growers in Florida because it wasn't susceptible to heat delay. And allowed us to actually have varieties that timed, and it was a good lesson about the power of genetics, and specifically in the poinsettia. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a while, worked for Natural Beauty, where I grew poinsettias for Disney, grew lots and lots of stock onto Four Star, grew high-end poinsettias for some retailers in the Detroit area and malls and things like that. Then on to Smith Gardens, where we were a primary producer for Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, Fred Meyer's, and other grocery outlets.
And that's on the Pacific Northwest.
Pacific Northwest, yeah. So I've got, you know,
Florida, Michigan.
Michigan.
Washington.
Yeah. And then in 2010, I took the job as a product manager and technical manager on the Ball Floor Plant project, and primarily leading a lot of Selecta programs, and then evolved to just managing Selecta. Poinsettia being the highest technical demand product that I worked with. And now I'm back to doing both Ball Flower Plant and Selecta. So
that's the thing about poinsettias. Nobody will ever say, I got it figured out. Thanks.
No.
Thanks, Gary. You don't have to pop by this year. Steve, how about you?
In my 40 plus years, my first crop of poinsettias was working side by side of a guy named Sparky at Krugermatic's Greenhouse in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
Krugermatic.
After that, I went out west to Ecky Ranch and focused on a lot of jobs in production. Then grew to add on research, and then grew into operations. So production, research, operations. My first job might be interesting at the ranch. At that time, we were growing outdoor stock, and we didn't have all the offshore production that they ultimately acquired. And so my first job was managing field stock in Encinitas. So quickly moved.
Pastures out in between the white fences at the ranch, right?
Yeah. So we actually had some outdoor stock, but quickly moved into managing the propagation, and then a big stint in offshore. I lived in Mexico, brought up the Mexico operation, and then when Guatemala came online, managed Guatemala and the production there as well. So I've had a bit of national experience, and then also international. So
and you're the only bona fide breeder in the group.
Yeah,
you're making your own varieties now, Reinhardt poinsettias.
Yeah, having some success there, and actually throwing pollen around and breeding poinsettias. So happy.
Is that all it takes? Come on, Gary, get with it up there.
Yeah.
All right, and Gary, you're broadcasting from where today? We like to know that.
I'm broadcasting from my home office in Bellingham, Washington.
Bellingham, okay, up near Smith Gardens. Rebecca, South Dakota?
South Dakota.
There you go. And Steve?
Famous Encinitas, California.
Right, see, the home of poinsettias, and I'm holding down the Ball Publishing Orlando offices today. So, all right, you guys ready? Because I'm going to fire these at you pretty quickly. Quick answers right off the top of your head from your gut. And then if we need to go into more detail, we will. Gary, you got a question?
Point? Yeah. Who goes first? I mean, this is like a game. You can answer. I want to know what the rotation is. So.
Let's see. Well, we'll kind of keep it in the same order we've been going. Rebecca, Gary, Steve.
That's a lot of pressure.
I guess it is, or maybe we'll mix it up a little bit here. Let's see where it goes. See what happens. First, the best poinsettia to have the very first plants at retail, week 44, 45, like November 1st.
Yeah, you're really pushing it early, number one there, Chris. But I know that Gary's going to talk a little bit about Christmas Magic. And I did see Christmas Magic this year in the West Coast. And it's early. I think Gary would probably agree. Traditionally, you know, we've seen Orion in that category, or early Orion is another one, so especially if you go south in the Duman camp, you probably Advent even comes to mention. So not to steal everyone's thunder, but those are some early candidates. And I guess I should throw in my own Ranch Red, just to cause a little stir there as well.
So. All right, November 1st, Ranch Red with those giant Aethia, right? All right, Rebecca.
So I'm going old school with Advent. Reliably, that's the earliest in color. And Duman also has a new one called Rapid Red that's showing a lot of promise.
All right. Gary? November 1st, poinsettia.
Yeah, you know, historically Advent, without question, and the also the way Advent has been utilized with that earliness and playing games with growth regulators as a landscape poinsettia that's kind of found a really unique niche as a landscape poinsettia. So that's got to carry a lot of historical. Right now, in our in my world, the one that we're comfortable hitting 45 all days is Christmas Magic. Then the other, which was really important, it took us years to breed, was the Early Elegance family. And we're recognizing this crazy demand. The question I have for the world is, how early is too early? Are we getting to that equation that the retailers are going right from, you know, the clearance Halloween candy directly to Christmas displays and expecting poinsettias in the stores the last week of October, and that seems to be coming almost normal.
Well, that's a whole other podcast. Hold that thought.
We're trying to find that orange that works in that time period and carry it into Halloween. But I don't know how big that market is, but it'd be interesting to have the plant.
All right. What about next one up for an autumn or a Thanksgiving poinsettia? Doesn't have to be a red. Can be a red, but it doesn't have to be a red.
Who's Gary? Are you telling us?
Gary.
Oh, me. Okay. Yeah. All right. So to me, yeah. There's to Steve's point, the concept of you know, I think as an industry, we've tried to throw every possible floral concept at Halloween, and we've done it with pansies and mums and you name it, and it's never stuck. Until now. So this is a shout out to Day of the Dead. Holy cow. You want to make money in the fall, grow some marigolds. That's a wonderful thing. And I think it's a great thing that we've seen. And I think that's going to take away some of the thunder for the early decorating. But when it comes to Thanksgiving, historically there is some, you know, some very interesting novelty varieties out on the market. And you know, autumn leaves is a spectacular color, challenging variety to produce. But the reality is the uniqueness of that color and the retail appeal of that color makes it one that the growers are figuring out how to produce. And yeah, I mean it's a gorgeous thing. And you know, we've come at it with oranges and peaches and other types of colors, that yellows, etc., that are fall colors. But the only one that to me has really resonated is that really decorator color. And again, you see that as it's positioned through retail programs is autumn leaves.
Autumn leaves. All right, Steve?
I completely agree with Gary. Autumn leaves was a breakthrough. Yeah. I think it's a good one. You could put in, you know, maybe a red glitter or some of the Superba varieties. But the standout is autumn leaves for me as well.
All right, Rebecca?
Yeah, it's autumn leaves for me too, because while we've got some oranges that time early now, sometimes under retail lights, the consumer doesn't know if it's a shade of red or, you know, is it supposed to be an autumnal color? And to me, autumn leaves is just the perfect perfect complement to a lot of that Thanksgiving decor.
All right. It's one of the categories where I get said no to a lot. Try this? No. We have this. We're fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Next big timing, and one of the biggest now is, and Rebecca said she hates the term Black Friday, but I don't. But it's sort of, you know, it used to be self-explanatory, except Black Friday lasts all November now. But we sort of think of it as, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, mass market. What's the best mass market, big box, ad flyer poinsettia? Rebecca.
Well, I had three on my list. First one would be Astro from Beacon Camp. You're looking for a variety that, or Ferrara or Mirage. Those are my three. You look for varieties that show early bract color and late Cyathia expression. So you get nice long shelf life. You want kind of a moderate size bract so that it sleeves well. You want it to work well in all regions. You want to be able to, you know, slow it down under, you know, if you have to delay. So you just want it to be nice and versatile and grown at high density. That's also really important, and maybe a shortened production schedule too, just because we know the margins aren't great in that mass market promotion segment.
Ticks a lot of boxes. Steve?
Yep.
I went in a little different direction, and I'd like for the market to differentiate that poinsettia from the rest of the market and not just fold it in. And so what I went was some of the compact ones like Kayla and Pepite that could be considered high density, heavy branchers, and a more compact habit, giving it a different look at retail.
So you don't sort of water down those ad flyer poinsettias with your higher quality big bract poinsettias, in other words. I got you. Gary?
That's it.
For us, the one that has evolved into this role and it's our top selling variety is Christmas Eve. The reason being, Christmas Eve has some very interesting production focused attributes. It is very fast to root. It is 18 days to be fully rooted, so it works really good in direct stick situations. It also allows you to run really quick through liner production. It's also rapid to grow after rooting and elongates itself rapidly and can easily be manipulated, so perfect for mowing. So when you have a guy that wants, you know, a grower that's growing mass market, they want to be able to mechanically pinch. And so this variety presents itself with a smaller leaf and a good vertically positioned meristem, ideal for mowing. Having that fast rooting and easy mowing and consistent mowing, you get high yield. It's a good strong root system. It's a very narrow upright plant, and it allows it to be grown at much higher density in both one quart and the 6-inch promo.
All right. We're going to get into
Not a fan of the promo, but you know, you got to work what you got to work. And the idea is what we're focused is cost and yield. Yeah. And we reduce gross costs and increase their yield. That's simple math. It's not the most beautiful stuff. It's the most cost-effective stuff.
I don't see any growers saying no to these market demands. You just got to deliver. We're going to get into the core season, maybe week 48, 49 in a second. But how about late season, December 15 to 24? Best variety. Rebecca.
Oh, I'm a fan of Aurora. I like the way that Aurora finishes under, you know, different light conditions. Some of those like super late ones, the 9 and 9.5 week response time varieties just get too late depending on environmental conditions and low light. But Aurora's got a nice kind of moderate to late finish, and it's just a really great looking plant. So okay. Aurora works in all container sizes too.
Okay. Gary?
Yeah, I agree. Aurora is our versatile late variety for sure. It's really good. It's one of these kind of chameleons in high light, low humidity situations. It's quite early, 47, but in upper regions, it really comes into its real, you know, high quality end 48, 49, which is good. We also have one that's really, it's a church special. And I mean, we don't sell a lot of them, but it's all for truly, we call it the Advent season, where basically, if you look at the Advent season of poinsettias, the traditional season starts on December 15th. And so we want something that's going to look good from December 15th all the way through the Advent, which is middle of January. And so we have a variety that won't sell out, but it's called Christmas Tradition. It's our latest, and it is wicked late.
Christmas Tradition.
It's a pretty variety. It's wide. It's not a modern variety. It doesn't have a good modern architecture. It has a big, pretty bract, and it's so late that you have to grow it very specifically to work. But it is, like I said, designed for week 50 and later. And okay. Really designed for the church.
All right, Steve.
Well, I'll start off by saying I think there should be more late season poinsettias grown. A lot of times we use the mid season and just stretch it. And I think giving the late market a fresh poinsettia is sometimes overlooked, number one. But I get the choices of Aurora, I agree. But I'd also throw in Rojo from my own group and maybe Mars. But Rojo, walking through the Lucas trials last year and seeing the dark leaf and the power that can be delivered by the late season, I'd give Rojo a shout as well.
All right. Good. Now let's talk about the main season crops. Week, you know, what, 47, 48, 49, I guess thereabouts, you know, after Thanksgiving through early December. But let's talk it regionally, because I think that's what you, I correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of the biggest consideration is where are you? So let's talk about best core red for the North, however we classify North. South Dakota? New York?
Perhaps.
Minneapolis. Is that far north? Tell me. Rebecca, start with you again.
Oh, okay. So for me in the North, Mirage is a great variety. It finishes really well under low light. It's got good Cyathia retention and production, really, because that's one end side shoot production. You know, a lot of times varieties struggle under that low light to get enough carbohydrate storage to produce those Cyathia, and then your lower laterals are affected under low light. So Mirage for me is a great one.
All right, Steve.
Well, I don't want to take all of Gary's thunder, but there's a lot of beauty being grown in the North. So you got to have beauty in there somewhere.
That's Christmas.
But also, I've seen a lot of robin grown. So so I'd say a robin, Mirage, beauty.
All right. Gary?
For us, Beauty is a great variety, but I was going to put that one on a different region because of the heat. It's tolerant to heat. What we find is Mirage has been sort of the target of what we've been trying to emulate as far as, you know, quality, timing, density, habit, etc. So it's kind of like a Mirage-esque battle. We've been with Cheer. We've been, you know, originally with Day, but now we're working with a variety called Christmas Bells here in North America. It's working really well. It's known in Europe as Christmas Universe, and it has risen very quickly in 3 years to the top seller for Selecta in Europe. So its performance is really good. It's a different look, but it, again, it has that sort of producibility, density, etc., temperatures, acceptance that Mirage has. So it's kind of versatile like Mirage, a little bit different look. And that what I think is, I feel like it's more of our future in the North.
All right.
And Chris, I would also add that, you know, in the North, we need a early expanding bract. It really helps out with the earliness, even though the Cyathia might not be mature. We can at least get that bract out early. So I would add that should be in the decision-making.
I think the whole concept of cell window is what we have to really look at is what is the cell window of a variety? When can you cheat it? And how long before you get to the point of pollen? Because at pollen, then you start to have breakdown. But what's your cell window from saleable color to pollen? That really extends a variety's performance. And I think that's something that all the breeding companies are trying to create in this, is that more versatility that also translates beautifully into shelf life.
All right, but sum up again which varieties we all picked. Rebecca, sum up for us which ones we picked for the North.
Mirage.
And Gary? One variety.
Bell's Mirage.
Okay, Steve?
Yeah, I definitely go with Mirage as well, so I'm not going to...
All right. I'm going to do that because we get into such discussion, people might forget. Wait, which one was that? So Southern for the South, not deep South necessarily, but just, you know, broad, general, mid-South to South. What do you like? Mm-hmm. Gary?
Christmas Beauty is our steady 80 and works throughout what I would call the mid-South, Carolinas, Texas, southern parts of California. So Beauty is, it's our workhorse. And definitely our top seller in the Southern.
All right. Steve?
Well, you know, Freedom has been the old workhorse. It's not gone yet. So,
it's not gone at all.
Yeah, I know.
We're
a lot of people
about
still.
That at some point, too. So
Freedom, what's that?
We're going to talk about old names at some point here near the end. So stick.
Yeah. And. Poinsettias that live the entire patent life. That's kind of interesting that we have plants to do that.
Is that your pick, Freedom?
Yeah, I'd pick Freedom.
All right, Rebecca?
Yeah, for me, actually, Freedom, Early Orion, those are some varieties that have been the standard in the South for a long time. And oftentimes when you go in and talk to growers in the South, mid-South to the deep South about new varieties, they are comfortable with what they know and what works. Mm-hmm. And it's still Orion and Freedom, though I would say there's some Ladsbury genetics coming that are, looking very promising in the South also. So, yeah. But stick with what you know, if it works for you. So.
All right. Now, I don't know if out West, say a desert climate, drier, more Mediterranean climate makes a difference versus what you see in the East.
Big time.
Does it?
Big
okay. Time. So what would you recommend for a grower in California, Phoenix, Denver?
The reality, and if you're in the high light, low humidity world of the West and the desert West, pick whatever you want. They all work in those climates. To me, the comment I would say is recognize that in the warm but low humidity conditions, you don't see heat delay issues. Quite the opposite. You see rapid onset, and we find things like in Colorado, Utah, Central California to be like 7 days earlier than anywhere else in North America. And that's pretty much consistent across most genetics. There are some that time normally. But the thing is a mid-season variety is a late-season variety. And so for us, that mid-season variety is Christmas Aurora. It dominates the desert and the West Coast for that.
All right. Rebecca?
No.
Gosh, for the West, I was either going to say Cheer or Aurora. Those would be my choices. And I guess the comment I would make there too, you do have to be careful about dry conditions when you're pinching. And the newer, some of the really strong V-shape architecture varieties on the market now, like Prestige, tend to show some branching issues when it's hot and dry. So it's kind of a matter of finding that variety that will take that heat and still, produces enough lower laterals and doesn't have negative branching effects in the heat. But for me, Aurora, Cheer, those are two that do really well.
Interesting. Yeah, I think one of the things, just to comment on that, is we do a lot of our selection work in Italy. Italy is not really south. I mean, where we select is literally Chicago. But what we can do is we can emulate more of that kind of growing condition with lower humidities and let the temperatures run up a little bit in the greenhouses, and we get a better feel. We've been working on that for a while. I think your comment about some of the Lacerae varieties coming to bear fruit in southern production, I think that's really true.
Yeah.
Because Lacerae is littered down the street from where we are.
And Steve, you're in that paradise. You're in that paradise climate, San Diego County. What's a good variety for that climate?
I mean, Prestige is still out there, good numbers, still people growing it. I also mentioned that there's more and more beauty even. I don't know, Gary, how you feel about beauty on the West, but I traveled with one of the major growers here in the West last year. Beauty is one of the anchor varieties they're using. So
absolutely, beauty, the beauty of beauty is the versatility of beauty, and it's also a family. Now, the family is not the greatest family, but the versatility of beauty, and when you have a grower that breaches numerous climates in different regions and they want to have continuity in their genetics, beauty is something they can make work in multiple locations, and so therefore that reliability across different regions. I'll let us to work with some of these growers that have contractors in different areas or have different production locations. So that's where I think beauty wins that game, because it works everywhere.
You do see some Ferrara pop up as well as another variety. I get that variety totally. And you see Mirage. So there's a lot of choice in the West, as I think the group alluded to. You got choice in the West.
That's the place to be.
What I can tell you, what we see in the West, because it's really dominated by some larger growers, it's about matching the genetic to the specific spec they're trying to produce. A lot of West Coast production is large container production, Costco production, big
so containers. You're choosing your variety for something other than it happens to grow well in this temperature.
It all works well in this climate, which is the best fit for whatever need you're trying to achieve. That's kind of my point.
All right.
You can make pretty much anything work in those conditions. You really want to match it to the need.
And maybe I struggled growing in Central Florida, but what about Miami? What do you pick for a
grill? I love it.
Way
I love it. I've been breeding for 10 years, and in that 10 years, concentrating on heat. And to me, the heat equation equals Miami, because that is a region where few varieties really work. And if you're going to target to try to get the most heat performing variety, it's there. So I had a good experience this last year with Ranch Red. Unbelievable. It's setting the new standard, I think, for how early you can go. And I don't know if it's not heat delaying, but it's delaying very little. And there's only a few other varieties that really hit that early target. So
Gary,
my choice is Ranch Red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say Ranch was surprising. This was an anomalous year, and I would argue that South Florida was, Miami was kind of rough. Naples was a bit worse, but East Texas was hell on earth. And parts of East Texas, because the heat dome continued to build, we saw what I would say is heat beyond any variety's ability to perform well. But in those situations, some performed more consistently. It was a weird situation this year because we weren't looking at which ones were heat delaying. We were just trying to figure out which ones were going to survive. And then the heat delay was your secondary problem. The first one was, can I get these things to grow and finish? And we saw all kinds of issues with that. And so a lot of what I would consider traditional heat living varieties found their upper limits. Yeah. So to me,
what rose to the top though in all that?
So in our world for mid-season, Christmas bee, the other one, Christmas feelings, it struggles early in the heat. It shows some heat stress, but it always recovers and finishes like a rock star. It's not the most gorgeous variety, but it is steady Eddie. On the early side, Christmas magic works, but it's so bloody early that it's problematic. So you need to give it time and use growth regulators to time it. But honestly, there is no magic variety in the heat dome of East Texas. And I saw growers that had pretty much everything in their trials.
And yet the things are from Mexico.
Would have risen up to where I would say, wow, that one really rocked the heat.
The mountains of Mexico, Chris.
Oh, the mountains of Mexico. Oh, see,
the mountains of Mexico.
3,000 feet where it's nice and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And bright and the lower humidity. All right, Rebecca,
it's the humidity. So, the humidity is the killer. That's what's killing us is the humidity.
You know, for me, when we talk about Miami, we got to talk about bacterial resistance and finishing outdoors too, because not all varieties finish nice under Saran or, shade cloth type scenario. And bacterial leaf spot is in the landscape. And so for me, Ranch Red this year, I was just amazed at how the bright color grown outdoors and how clean the foliage was. Now, this grower I saw that is a fantastic poinsettia grower outdoors. However, I saw other varieties that normally we would consider resistant to bacterial leaf spotting and a good red color. And I saw it from, halfway across the property. So no heat delay and super impressed with just the aesthetics.
All right.
Yeah, agreed. And I agree your point, resistance to or at least tolerance of bacteria. Pick your terminology, resistance to bacterial leaf spot. It's usually, I think it's the wax, but whatever it is, it prevents, that's a big issue because literally, South Florida, Hawaii, poinsettias are grown either directly out in the sun or just under Saran. There's no greenhouses involved, so they're exposed to the elements. And
my greenhouses just add heat and delay. Hey, okay, let's go the other direction. Even above Rebecca in South Dakota, let's go to Fairbanks. I want to grow poinsettias in Fairbanks. What do I grow, Rebecca?
I don't know if it is that much far north of South Dakota, is it? If we really get into latitude.
180 miles south of the Arctic Circle.
Okay, well, for me, again, it's the things that do well in the West in Fairbanks. So, I would choose things like Mirage, Aurora. For me, we think about, for me, it's a really versatile growing environment in Fairbanks, right? Long days, high light, moderate climate. So for me, there's lots of choices, and it's about picking the one that works best for your market needs.
Steve?
Well, interesting. I was chosen at one point in my life to do a grower call in Alaska. And it was a unique experience for me because toward the finishing time period, you really have no light.
Yeah.
I mean, and so some of those growers even go to Seattle, try to pull up poinsettias by truck. But there's a few brave souls there. And probably at that time, I think early Freedom and that sort of thing was grown. And it did okay. But you really lose light, and it's becomes a real challenge in that territory.
Yeah, you go from
I assume if you're doing it, you have lights.
Yeah.
I can tell you experience with that as a Bellingham grower.
Yeah, I would tell you, not the ideal situation shipping poinsettias on a truck across the Alcan.
Yeah.
150 miles of washboard, not particularly good for brack bruising. But yes, I do have experience at one point even putting them on a 747 and trying to fly them up. So there is no great solution to poinsettia Alaska. Growing in Alaska is very viable. And yeah, Rebecca, I think the guys that do it, pretty much everybody up there that's trying to do year-round type of greenhouse work has lights. It's just kind of imperative unless you're just going to do late bedding crash. So they are grown with lights. What we find is don't have a lot of market. We do have a little bit in Alaska, not the Fairbanks, but in Anchorage. But I will tell you that's sheer. But the one that we see working well in for Selecta in Finland, Norway, it's Christmas bells, Christmas universe. It's working really good way up there. And you want to go north, go to Finland. That's north.
There you go.
And they actually have a market. So it's north and they actually grow a significant amount of poinsettias up. And Scandinavia is a strong marketplace. It really is. It's amazing.
Yeah, all those little minis.
Yes, lots of minis.
Well, speaking of which, let's switch on to container and or habit. And let's keep them moving. Not too much description, just a variety of names and a little bit of why. Minis. Speaking of minis, 2-inch, tiny stuff. What do you like? Rebecca, let's start with you.
Oh, there's a new series from Duman called Freya. Actually, they use Freya in Europe, but it's really great for minis. It's got that cute little habit, cute little bracts, lots of colors to choose from. So for me, Freya.
All right, Gary?
And it's got a nice Nordic name.
Our top mint season is Christmas Beauty. We also use Christmas Glory, low vigor variety. Colors in it is great, but what we've seen a lot of uptick on is by creating mini cutting is using Christmas Eve. That density, that smaller bract is real conducive to it. And it's also a clean stem. So you want a variety that doesn't create this underbranching they call Kindle. That can make botrytis. So you want a clean stem variety with a modest sized bract. As long as you make a mini cutting, a lot works.
All right. And Steve?
I see a lot of Freedom still around in Europe. They seem to discover Freedom later than the U.S., but you still see it. I see Beauty as well. So I think there's some choice there. With Freedom, you can dip that temperature late in the season, hold it really well. And so, it's for cold grow. I think it's a good choice as well.